Thank you for joining us once again for our online service. We're so happy you're here and that you've come to share this Mother's Day with us. Despite this pandemic, God has made a way for many to experience His love. And how amazing it is to be a children of a Father who loves us so much, He will make sure no one misses eternity with Him. We are concluding our sermon series today. We've called Tough Questions. Today's tough question coincides with one of the toughest jobs in the world, being a mother. Mothers wrestle with it a lot, and perhaps the most, I think, because they take motherhood seriously, and there is no one formula fits all to raising a family. No two children are the same. And dads? Well, it doesn't help when you become one of the other children she has to raise, too. Sometimes I think it must make all moms just shiver when they hear someone say to them, "He acts just like his father." Today's tough question, am I making the most of my life? As we watch our children grow up so fast, we love them so much, we put so much into them, we try so hard to make things work for them, to make them happy, to keep up with their schedules, to keep their sports and practices and recitals and piano lessons and doctor's and dentist visits, along with PTA meetings and other school functions, fitting those into our daily schedules. And that is usually, not always, but usually, up to mom to take care of. Then mom has to also take care of all the meals, keeping up with the laundry, the cleaning, her own job, and her husband. She's often the one taking care of the bills and the birthdays, the holidays, and helping with homework. She's often the referee, the life coach, and the family confidant. She's the fashion advisor, bargain shopper, and nighttime storyteller. She's sometimes called upon to be a nurse. With her healing kisses, her reassuring smile, and her encouraging words, there, it's all better. And somehow, it always is. And yet mothers often ask, am I doing this right? Am I spending enough time with them? Am I giving them the right advice? Am I giving them the right experiences? Am I protecting them enough as I try so hard to prepare them for life ahead? Am I making the most of my time with them? And men, we ask the same question as well. We try to love, protect, and provide for our wives and kids as we try to do the best we can, pursuing our career, trying to be the best husband, father, provider, and protector that we can be. And we often find ourselves asking, am I doing this right? When we see the mother of our children being total superwomen, trying to be all things to everyone, the kids, the in-laws, the neighbors, and us, we have to ask, am I doing this right? And the examples go on and on and on. Last week, we tackled the question, what is the point of it all? And we saw the Bible's answer in Ephesians 1:11. It is in Christ that we find out who we are and what we're living for. And then as we accept that and strive to find ourselves and our purpose and our meaning in Christ, we find ourselves asking all along this journey, am I doing this right? It's tough because we're talking about our most valuable asset. And it's not money like most people would like to think. Actually, it's our time. And what makes the difference, what makes time so much more valuable than money is this. You can make money. You can make more money. But you cannot make time. Sometimes we say, I need a few more hours in the day. Sorry, you can't make more time. And you cannot get it back either. No one can find some time you feel you lost and return it to you. And we can't even slow it down. We said earlier, our kids grow up so fast, and we often hear, I wish they could stay this age forever. Admittedly, you don't hear that much during your teenage years. But sorry, you can't slow time down. Not for your kids, not for yourself, not for your marriage. Money is a renewable resource. Not so with time. You can waste time, you can lose track of time, you can sleep through it, but you cannot get it back. You cannot earn it back, you cannot wish it back, and nobody can give it back to you. And we know this instinctively. We're aware of that. Let me ask you, how many times a day do you check to see what time it is? Some of you during this message will check your watch to see how I'm doing on time. Some of you are thinking right now, Pastor David, if I cannot get this time back, this message better be good. Well, let me tell you, I'm aware of that, and I'll do my best. You see, even Pastor Jeff and I know how valuable time is to all of you. We constantly remind each other as we work on messages and ideas and programs that far more important than asking you to support the ministries of MCC through your generous giving, we are asking you to give us some of your time. And we cannot refund that. Believe me when I say, every week as we prepare and then present a message, we are asking, am I doing this right? Am I saying this right? So, today's message, am I making the most of my time? How do we know? Well, Solomon, the wisest man to ever live, wrote a book in the Bible that gives us some answers to what we're looking for. Turn with me again to the book of Ecclesiastes, and this morning let's look together at chapter 3. Ironically, in chapter 3, Solomon uses the word time 32 times. If you were with us earlier in this series, you will remember a phrase he uses throughout the book that puts us into the perspective of his writing. It's the phrase, under the sun, S-U-N. And if you're not careful, you can misunderstand this book. It can feel dark and discouraging and even depressing until you understand Solomon is baiting us. He writes about his life under the sun. His life here, his life on earth, and all the pursuits that are available to us in this life under the sun. And he tried them all. And concludes, it's meaningless. It's chasing after the wind. One day the doctor slaps you and your life begins. Or in my case, when I was born, the doctor slapped my mother. Then life slaps you, and then death slaps you, and you're gone. And if that's all you take away from this book, you're missing the point. The point is, you will never find what your heart is really searching for, what your heart is really yearning for, things like true purpose and real meaning and real happiness and true love. You'll never find that from anything under the sun. But it's not to say everything in this life is meaningless or useless. Look at verse 11. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Most everyone has said there's a time and a place for everything. And in its time and in its place, everything is beautiful. Pastor Jeff, that'd make a good song.
Yes, it would.
Everything is beautiful. Oh, well, moving on. But look at the rest of that verse. And I believe this is the key to so much. He has also set eternity in the human heart. There are a lot of exciting and beautiful and wonderful things under the sun here in this life on this earth. But there is more, much more than what's under the sun. And if you live to pursue just the things of earth, you're going to miss the more. You can live a good life. You can live the best life under the sun, and you will still be living beneath your privileges. It's the difference of living as a slave to the world or as a child of the King. So here's what I want you, what I want us to do with the time we have left this morning. I want to give you the big idea of this message first in one sentence. Then I want to look at three thoughts that will help us make the most of our time. So first, here's the main idea, the whole message in a sentence. When you see time the way God sees time, only then will you make the most of your time. Here's thought number one. Be present. We are in a pandemic that has drastically changed the way we do life. And sometimes we long for the way it used to be, when we sent our kids away to school, when we could freely walk in and out of stores all over town, when we could take our families out to dinner, when we could worship together and sing together and hug each other. Sometimes we long for the way it will be when this is over, and how much more we will appreciate and enjoy those things we just mentioned. And sometimes we look beyond it all to heaven and what waits for us there. But listen carefully, in all of those times, we're someplace else. We're sometime else. But we are not present in this moment. Solomon would suggest we need to accept the fact that God has a purpose for both the good and the bad times in your life. Here's what he says in chapter 3, verse 1. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. He then goes on to list 14 different seasons you will go through in life. They're called mirrorisms. Two opposite events, two opposite words that are meant to encompass everything that could possibly fit between them, that could happen between them. Kind of like when we say from A to Z. By that we mean from A to Z, inclusive of every possibility and everything that's in between them. Look at the list of 14. It starts in verse 2. Time to be born. Time to die. Time to laugh. Time to weep. Time to dance. Time to mourn. Time to keep and time to throw away. Now, wives, your husband, or husbands, your wives wish you would listen to that a little more. Throw some of those shirts away. It's time to keep, time to throw away. Time for peace, time for war. And you know what's amazing about this is this. Every one of us finds ourselves somewhere on this list. These are all seasons of life. But here's the thought. Which seasons are the hardest to be present in? To not be so distracted that we waste a whole season of other things going on around us. Which side of that list is it? It's almost always the negative side, isn't it? And Solomon is saying, you have got to be present in every season. Understanding God still has a purpose for every season in your life. Sometimes we forget these are just seasons. They're not going to last forever. So we think, I just need more time. And let's be honest, that's where a lot of us are today. We just need more time. But here's the problem. More time is almost never the answer. If we're honest, for most of us, we don't need more time. We need to be present more of the time.
Amen.
Now, Solomon's going to bait us again. He wants us to look at the list again, look at this list again, and ask us, do you get to control when these happen? We don't, do we? Remember what we said last week? We don't like it when we're not in control. In verse 9, Solomon asks, and I like how the Message translation puts it, but in the end, does it really make a difference what anyone does? So, given you don't have a lot of control, he has us right where he wants us, and he drops this amazing truth about God. Verse 11, we used this verse earlier. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Now, that's tough to think about for some of you with what you're going through right now. And if you find yourself in that season, Solomon is going to tell you, second, be grateful. Solomon tells us, don't waste a season of your life just because you don't understand what God is doing. Here's what I want to tell you. Some of you have tuned in today just to hear this truth. Our job is not to always understand God, but to trust his timing.
Amen.
There's so much more going on than we could ever imagine. Verse 11 goes on to say, he has also set eternity in the human heart. We know in our heart there is more to it, more than we could ever know as we go through our various seasons of life. And he finishes up verse 11 with these words, yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. So you know what he tells us to do next? Number 3, be generous. On your outline, here's how we put it. Invest your time in doing good, and you will be more satisfied with your time. Here's how Solomon put it in verse 12. I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live. Solomon is telling us what's now backed up by scientific research. There's a study not done by Christian organizations. Rather, it's done by researchers at the University of Pennsylvania, Yale, and Harvard. They conducted this study because they said, we have an issue with time. Here's the premise of the study in their words. Here's the premise. This is what it's about. Despite medical advances that have lengthened human lifespan and technological innovations that have automated many chores, Americans report feeling more time constraints than ever. Many, in fact, perceive themselves as victims of a time famine, having too much to do and not enough time to do it. So they did this study to find out why Some people feel they have enough time, and others feel like they are under a time famine all the time. Here's the title of their results: Giving Time Gives You Time. You can read it for yourself. It's everywhere. Just Google it. Giving time gives you time. That is so countercultural. In a world that says you need more time for yourself, you've got to do what's best for you. You deserve to be happy. You deserve a break today. This bud's for you. Can I get personal for a moment? We have people listening this morning from all across the nation. And no matter where you are, some of you don't serve in your church because you feel like you don't have enough time. Some of you are not involved in connecting and looking after your neighbors because you feel like you don't have enough time. Some of you don't read your Bible or pray like you should, or pray with your children at bedtime because you just don't have enough time. Yes, you do. Let me keep on being personal. What if you took just 1 hour from watching Netflix or being on Facebook or texting or playing video games, and you spent that hour doing something good for somebody else? Well, that sounds terrible, Pastor David. That's my time. I need that time for myself. Let me go back one more time. Giving time gives you time. What a counter concept to everything we've been taught, but what the Bible has said for thousands of years and what research and science has confirmed today. Bonnie Ware worked for years with patients who had gone home to die. She was with them for the last 3 to 12 weeks of their lives. And they shared some incredible moments and some intimate, special moments together as people were faced with the reality of their own mortality. She always asked them if they had any regrets. She wrote a book about their answers titled The Top 5 Regrets of the Dying. The first one surprised me. Number one was, I wish I had had the courage to live a life true to myself, not the life others expected of me. Number two, you could have guessed this one, I wish I hadn't worked so hard. But interestingly, every single male said that. Everyone, and a lot of women. Number three, I wish I'd had the courage to express my feelings. Number four, I wish I had stayed in touch with my friends. Number five, I wish that I had let myself be happier. So we have to ask ourselves today's tough question. Am I making the most of my time? Let me leave you with a simple takeaway. This week, give 1 hour of your time away to someone who needs it. Who is that going to be for you? Maybe a neighbor who really needs someone. Someone to run to the store for them, to take them to an appointment, or just to talk to them. Dads, maybe it's your kids. They need you to stop working, stop watching TV for just 1 hour and sit down with them and be 100% present. Watch a movie with them. Play a game with them. Be silly and enjoy them. Or maybe it's your wife. Pick up dinner at her favorite restaurant. Come home, set the table, and afterwards you clean up. You can throw away paper plates and plastic forks. Then you put the kids to bed. You read them a story, or even better, read them a favorite Bible character in the Bible to them. And then come in and just snuggle with her. Let her lay her head on your shoulder while you watch her favorite show together. Be present, be grateful, and be generous with your time. Father God, thank you that you have given us this life and you have given us gentle reminders all through your book that we need to be conscious that that time is short. And therefore, we need to redeem the time as wise and not as unwise, so that when we come to the end of our lives, we won't add our regrets to that list in Bonnie Ware's book. Thank you, Father, for loving us so much that you made the most of every moment you had with us. Help us to do the same with you and with each other. Guide us in our decisions this day and this week through Jesus our Lord. In his name we pray. Amen.